finishing up a little exhortation to the saints, but I think not only were you ready, they were ready for me to get on into the sermon here. This series is how to have the greatest year of your life. And the greatest year of your life can happen this year, not because of happenings. And if you rely on your happiness to be because of happenings, either circumstances in your life just to get sweeter and sweeter, or the people in your life to get sweeter and sweeter, or your body to feel sweeter and sweeter, then you know what? You're depending in the wrong direction. Yeah. Yeah. This can be the greatest year of your life because of who Jesus is. Amen. And because of what he has said and what he has done. And the Bible says that he has provided for everything we need in this life. Amen. To live a godly life. Amen. Now I want to tell you, there's more available than what we're walking in. Yeah. But I want to tell you, if we follow the Son, our shepherd, if we follow the Son in 21, this could be the greatest year of your life. Amen. Because the kingdom of God is not limited by what the world's facing. The kingdom of God is not limited by some political power.
Yeah. Amen.
The kingdom of God is not limited by what the bank says about your finances.
Amen.
God's bigger than all of it.
Amen.
And when we go from looking from the medical community or medicine as our Savior to looking to Jesus as our Savior, that's a step in the right direction. When we go from looking at our nation or your nation's economy to looking to Jesus as our provider, I want to tell you that's a step in the right direction.
Yeah. Yeah.
When we go to looking past the political powers that be and not limit ourselves or our thinking or our speech or our actions to what's happening in another place in the earth, and we start looking to the kingdom and we start looking to the throne room where Jesus rules and reigns right now.
Amen.
The Bible says that by grace and by righteousness that he can cause us to reign as kings in this life in spite of strife.
Amen.
We can reign as kings in this life. Now, is that just sweet talk or was Jesus saying that this is me and this is real and this is for you?
This is real.
Well, I'm telling you, it's a decision you have to make because this can't be the greatest year of your life because of Jesus, but it's not going to happen without your cooperation.
Amen.
But I want to tell you, if you cooperate, I want to tell you, you don't limit God if you cooperate.
Amen.
Amen.
And with God, all things are possible.
Yes.
And so we not base 2021 on the failures of the past.
Amen.
Or the challenges of the past, or the failures of the past, or whether or not people celebrated us in the past. Hey, 2021 is based on the Lord, based on his word, the power of his spirit, and I want to tell you, this time next year, you cooperate with the Lord, this time next year, you can be declaring that 2021 was the best year of my life, but I'm so enjoying Jesus that I know that 2022 is going to be the best year of my life.
Amen. That's right.
Amen. Anybody interested in that?
Yes.
Thank you for tuning in. Okay, one of the principles that I brought out last week that I wanted to get back to that I didn't, here we are. So congratulations, thank you for turning back in. But we see and receive what we are focused on.
Yes.
We see and receive what we are looking for.
Yes.
And the real theme scripture for this series, how to have the best year of your life, it is out of Psalm 23. And it speaks that the Lord is my shepherd and I have everything I need.
Amen.
Now that settles a whole lot right there.
Yes.
And the last verse in Psalm 23 says that his goodness and mercy are chasing me down.
Amen.
Are following me. That's a promise of God. That's the heartbeat of the Lord for you. And so I want to tell you, there's a lot of believers in our day that are looking over their shoulder and they're afraid of sickness and disease and financial failure and going, you know, all kind of things are chasing them down and they're afraid. But Jesus, Psalm 23 brings out, that's the wrong focus. If that's what you're focused on, that's what you're going to attract.
That's right.
Wow, that's pretty powerful. But if you're looking over your shoulder, believing and knowing and you have confidence in and you're trusting it, the Lord is my shepherd.
Amen.
And he provides everything that I need.
Yep.
He's my shepherd. He takes care of me. Then you're looking over your shoulder and you're expecting God's goodness to chase you down. That's a big difference. You're expecting the unfailing love to manifest in your life. Listen to this. Every day, in every way, the goodness of God is chasing you down. Now, when that's your focus, guess what you're going to see?
The goodness of God.
Guess what you're going to attract?
The goodness of God.
I want to tell you, that's a better way of living. We don't have to live like the world. The Bible tells us don't be conformed. It means don't get into the same mold that the world is formed in. Okay? We live in the world, but we're not of the world.
Amen.
You're not a regular human. I want to tell you, we belong to the kingdom of God.
Amen.
So we don't have to settle for the limitations of this world. Jesus is our king. Somebody say amen.
Yes.
That allows me to keep preaching. Thank you. But listen, here's the principle. We become what we behold. Now look, if you focus on politics all day long, you're going to be a depressed person. Let me ask something. You're going to be mad.
Tell it.
Okay? Hey, if you focus on the medical world all day long, you're going to be disappointed. Okay? Medical world is a great help. Thank God for helpers, but they're not the rescuers.
Amen. Amen.
Okay? So it's real easy to get disappointed. If you look at yourself, and a lot of people do, they're looking at their self. And I want to tell you, you're going to be depressed.
Tell it.
If you're wrapped up in yourself, you're a very small package, my friend.
Yeah.
And you'll be depressed.
Okay,
if you are focusing on other people to be your rescue and not Jesus, I want to tell you, you're going to be offended.
Yeah.
All right. True. Am I drawing a picture here?
True.
But the Bible says that when we keep our mind on the Lord, He'll bring us to perfect peace. Now, I want to tell you that shalom peace means more than just not having conflict, because that's the way a lot of people describe peace, as not having conflict. No, it's so much bigger than that, than whether you're in the midst of your enemies or not. The Lord has prepared a table for you to feast on Him. And I want to tell you, we become what we behold. And when you behold Jesus, guess what? Great things happen. When you're focusing on Him in the Word, when you see Jesus in the Word, I want to announce something to you. The Word of God. See, this is part of our challenge as leadership, is to get people to fall in love with Jesus and get in the Word.
Yes.
And I want to tell you, the enemy will fight you getting in the Word more than anything else.
Yes, he will.
He would rather you have a life coach than be in the Word.
That's right.
He'd rather you look at some positive affirmations than be in the Word. He would rather you call somebody up on the phone and get, oh, poor me, poor you. He would rather you do that than be in the Word. Because I want to tell you what happens when you're in the Word. It has faith activating power.
Amen.
That incorruptible seed is so dynamite power, that if you place that incorruptible seed in soil, in your heart, and I want to tell you something, it would take a miracle in reverse for the kingdom of God to not be multiplied in your life. You understand that?
Amen.
Okay. Here we go. You ready for a sermon? Okay, but see, I want to tell you that there's a pattern here, because you got to have the Word in you for that faith, that hope and faith to rise up, that activating power of faith to rise up. And you know what? You got to come to the place in the Word where your mind's renewed, instead of you automatically thinking sick or automatically thinking depressed or automatically thinking rejection from people, that you see yourself as God sees you. It takes a renewing of the mind.
Yes.
But the Word of God transforms us by the renewing of the Word in our mind.
Yes.
And if you're not in the Word, it can't happen.
That's right.
We got to get you in the Word.
Amen.
Okay. You got to believe it before you can see it on the inside.
Yeah. True.
And I want to tell you, that's what hope is. It's seeing it on the inside, what God says about you. Seeing on the inside what God wants to do with you.
Amen.
Seeing on the inside what God wants to do on the outside of you.
Amen.
You got to see it on the inside. That's hope.
Amen.
If you don't see it, you got to see it on the inside before you can receive it on the outside.
Amen.
Do you see? It's a spiritual progression. A lot of people get stuck at one of those and wonder, when is God going to do something? When is God going to do something? When is God going to do something? He already has.
Amen.
Yes.
He has set it in motion.
Amen.
He said you cooperate.
Yep.
Is that a little hard for somebody?
Nope.
Okay, because there's more to come.
Amen.
Okay, we got to believe it before we can see it on the inside. We got to see it on the inside before we can receive it on the outside. And we got to receive it on the outside before we can share it. That is the kingdom cycle of love.
Yes.
And it's not complete until we are ministering that to others. And if you're not receiving it, what are you ministering? Because I want to announce to you, if you're not receiving the life flow of Jesus, and it's very, very obvious if that's so or not. If you're receiving life, there's life fruit in your life. It comes out of your words. You speak life. It's in your thoughts. You speak life.
Yes.
You think life. You speak life. And guess what happens? Because faith is activated, it goes from hope to faith. It goes from your imagination room to your actions, and you act it out.
Yeah.
Wow, that's powerful. That's when other people are blessed.
Amen.
And that's the ultimate goal and result of the kingdom, is that it's invested and sowed into others. Okay, are you ready? Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8. And this shows you that we see and receive what we focus on. That's a simple principle. I'll just say it in another way. People fail because of lack of focus.
Tell it.
Christians don't walk in abundant life because of lack of focus. No wonder the enemy tries to distract us so much.
Yeah.
Okay? Here we go. So Jeremiah 17, 5 through 8. Thus says the Lord. That ought to be pretty clear, right?
Yeah, right.
Cursed. You don't want to be a cursed.
No.
You want to be a blessed.
Amen.
Cursed with great evil is a strong man. See, he believes himself strong. He sees himself strong. I had a very educated person kind of arrest me after a Jesus meeting one day and said, "Preacher, I disagree with you. Self-image is more important. Self-confidence is more important." I said, "No, it's not."
Amen.
Okay, because your self-image, your self-confidence is very, very limited in power. But save your confidence.
Yeah.
Yes.
Save your image.
Yes.
Now he sees you. And save your confidence is supernatural.
Amen.
Well, here we go. Is the strong man who trusts in and relies on frail man. Where's his trust? He's trusting in himself. He's trusting in man.
Yes.
Hey, making weak human flesh his dependence, his arm. And this is why he's doing that. You say, "Well, why would he do that?" Because his mind and his heart has turned aside from the Lord. When you're depending and trusting on anything else but Jesus, it sets you up for failure.
Yeah, it does. True.
Jesus is your success.
Yes.
And Jesus wants to be your testimony. Not man, not yourself, not your giftings, not what you were so smart to do. When their heart's away from the Lord, guess what? It goes to being self-focused and depending on self-strength. Let's see what he looks like. Verse 6, "For he shall be like a shrub." You picture with me a little shrub in the desert. All we got to do is go a few hundred miles west of here.
Right.
And you'll see what a shrub bush looks like compared to a big oak tree. "For he shall be like a shrub, or a person naked and destitute in the desert." See, that's the other picture, but I ain't talking about that one. Okay.
Amen.
But he, listen to this. This is what happens when you turn your heart away from the Lord. This is what happens with your life. You become a shrub bush, like in the desert. And look what happens. "He shall not see any good come."
Amen.
Now, let me make an announcement to you. I'm going to give you a little revelation. Good comes. Rain falls upon the just and the unjust. The goodness of God is being spread throughout the earth. But I want to tell you, when your focus is away from the Lord and you're depending on anything but Jesus, you don't see the good. Good's coming, but you don't see it. Man, I want to tell you, our world is so negative. That doesn't shock me. But it's the believers being negative and self-absorbed. That's disturbing because this speaks of a shrub bush. Shall not see any good come. Everybody see that?
Yes.
But shall dwell in parched places in the wilderness. I'm telling you, a lot of negative believers speak of negative testimony, of negative situations. And sometimes it's because of other people's choices. But a lot of times it's because of our own choices. But anyway, here, there, or everywhere, it comes down to the place that we have choices to make to not stay there. Because of what Jesus says, what he does, and who he is, this is to be a temporary place when you find yourself here. To live there is a choice. Okay, man, I'm about to get knocked down with amens. I can hear him over the camera.
Amen.
Thank you for shouting. A shrub bush shall not see any good come. It comes, but he doesn't see it or receive it. Now, you want to see what the blessed man looks like?
Yes.
Thank you for saying that, because I'm more interested in the blessed man. Most blessed is the man who believes in, trusts in, and relies on the Lord. And let me just say something here. This requires more than you just repeating it like a parrot.
Tell it.
You can repeat like a parrot that, yes, I love the Lord, and yes, I'm depending on the Lord, and your heart lied to you.
Yeah.
I want to tell you, we lie so much. Boy, this is another sermon. We lie so much to our own heart that our heart doesn't even believe what we say. When you say, when your heart hears you say stuff and you don't follow through with it, your heart says, it's a liar. He don't mean it. We fine. He'll be over it tomorrow. By the time they get home, the amens are over.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm telling you. Yep. The man who believes in, trusts in, and relies on the Lord, look at this, whose hope and confidence is the Lord.
Yes.
Now, I want to tell you, that speaks of more than the mouth.
That's right. Amen.
Okay, that speaks of depth in the heart. With all that's within you, wholeheartedness. Somebody say wholeheartedness.
Wholeheartedness.
Hey, I want to tell you, heaven sees whether that's the case or not. And I tell you what's kind of scary is that there are believers that say, well, I know that I am there, but God still doesn't do anything for me.
What?
Well, I want to tell you something. The Bible says that we don't even know our own heart. That the heart is so deceitful that we can be in a position where we don't know it. Now, let me tell you, hurry up with the good news, because I love good news. The Lord does know your heart.
Amen.
I double dare you to ask him. Because he'll show you.
Yes, he will.
And he'll tell you, and you can surrender it and make adjustment, because that's what grace and mercy is all about.
Amen.
So, most blessed, I'm telling you, faith, hope, love the Lord, heart submitted to God, trusting and depending on the Lord. You ready to see what they look like?
Yes.
It's not a shrub bush. Amen. It's like a big oak tree planted by the river. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, and spreads out its roots by the river. Now let me give you a little biblical picture language here. Water represents the water of the word.
Amen. Yes, it does.
And so do you see that this person has its roots deep in the water of the word?
Yes.
That this person is receiving the nourishment and the strength and the encouragement of the Lord continually because the roots are in the river. Wow. I'm telling you, somebody say, I love the word.
I love the word.
And look at this. Now, look at what happens. Look at the vision of the person whose roots are planted in the water of the word. Shall not see and fear when he comes. Do you see a difference?
Yeah.
Now, let me make an announcement.
Yes, amen.
I don't care how spiritual you are, how mature you are, how blessed you are, he still comes.
Yes, it does.
He comes to the just and the unjust.
Yes, it does.
And I want to make an announcement to you, because this person is trusting and depending and receiving the life flow of the Lord. They don't even see it.
Amen.
It comes, but they're not focused on it.
Amen.
They don't park at the heat. The shrub bush that's depending on man or something else besides God can't even see the good.
That's right, that's right.
Boy, you can hear it when they open their mouth.
Yes, Lord, yes.
But I want to tell you something about the blessed man. Heat comes, but that's not what he talks about.
Amen.
Heat comes, but that's not what he submits to.
Amen.
You know why? Because his focus is on the goodness of God. Amen. And what you hear out of his mouth, even when heat comes, is the goodness and unfailing love of God. He's looking over his shoulder and he has expectation of the goodness of God. You know, that's what hope is.
Amen.
Hope is the expectation of God's goodness.
Yes.
Hey, coming your way every day in every way.
Amen.
Wow. So he does not fear when heat comes, and his leaves shall be green, even during a drought.
Yes,
Lord.
The leaf is still green. How is that possible? Because he's being nourished by the Lord.
Yep.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Shall not be anxious. Does that sound like fear? It is. Does that sound like worry? It is. Shall not worry, shall not be fearful, shall not be full of care. Okay, this person is full of faith, not full of care.
Amen.
In the year of drought, even when everybody else, are you listening, saints?
Amen.
Even when everybody else around you, even when the world around you is in drought, you can prosper. Because of who God is.
Amen.
And you're depending and trusting in him. Listen to this. Shall not cease yielding fruit. That's a big difference than the people that we call on the phone and say, well, Brother Tim, we're just trying to survive. No, I want to tell you there's something, a greater level than surviving.
Amen.
Well, we're under the circumstances. Well, don't be there.
Yeah.
Amen.
We don't have to be there. Not because of you, your goodness, your qualifications, your education. It's not about that. It's about Jesus. And you're relying on the shepherd. Amen, Papa T. Yeah.
Amen.
Roots in the water. Does not see when trouble comes. No fear, yes faith. Focused on the goodness and unfailing love of God. Does not see drought, but sees the abundance of God's provision. Not walking in anxiety, fear, or worry in a drought. He sees and receives what he's focused on. He has a green leaf and he does not cease yielding fruit. Wow, that's a beautiful picture.
Amen.
And so I'm sharing with you, see and focus on the shepherd. And on his goodness. See, we choose. We have a chooser.
Yes.
God gave us a chooser.
Yes, he did.
And we choose what we focus on.
Yes, amen.
Now, if you've had a lifestyle habit of focusing on fear, focusing on the negative, focusing on anxiety, focusing on what may happen,
yeah. Right.
That's bad, then I want to tell you, it takes something to reverse that.
Yeah,
yeah.
But I'll tell you where it starts. Lord, I repent.
Amen.
Your way's right.
Yes.
My way's wrong.
Amen.
Lord, help me center my heart and my thoughts on you.
Amen.
No, listen. That's so simple.
Yes, amen.
But I want to tell you, when you pray that prayer, heaven's rejoicing. And the very power of the Godhead himself is in you. And is released because you've turned the spigot. Is that the right word?
Yes.
Turn the valve.
Yes.
To on. Because up till then, when you focus on fear,
mm-hmm.
and you focus on the negative, you've turned the spout off.
Yeah.
And when you repent and turn the spout on, guess what? The very fullness of God himself is operating in your behalf.
Amen.
I want to tell you, I'm not saying it's easy, everyday choices. I want to tell you, there for a while, when you first turn a spigot on, it's been off for a long time, maybe some frogs and lizards jump out. Maybe some dirty stuff come out. But I want to tell you, it's part of the cleansing.
Yes, amen.
I'm just going to announce to you, I'm going to confess something to you that I shared with some of our leaders that we're training in ministry. I don't think I've shared it with anybody else. I get tainted. I live in this world, too.
Yeah.
And as much as I'm so thankful, man, I'm up early and I spend time in the Word and I'm ministering the Word. I want to tell you, you understand Tim Hall lives in this world too, and I get tainted. And I recognize sometimes that I'm tainted by the world's reports or you know, because most of the time people don't come see me because of blessing. Oh, that's kind of funny. It's really not. But I'm here to tell you sometimes about mine. And you know what I have to do? This is what I confess to our leadership that we're training in ministry. When I recognize that I'm tainted, I know. I have to go take a long shower in the water of the Word.
Amen.
To get that junk out of me.
Yes.
The water of the Word is cleansing.
Yes.
Now, if I were to continue in that state, hey, any human, any Christian can get cold and wax cold.
Yeah.
Like the old timey style of making candles.
Mm-hmm.
Over and over again, that wax grows cold and grows large. And you wake up and say, how did I get here?
Yeah.
Did a little bit every time.
Yeah.
It was a little choices every day. But I am telling you, when you are saturating yourself with the Word, and a lot of times I get away, I get out of town, I go to Pastor Don's ranch and hide out, and it's great. It's very poor cell phone coverage. I turn the thing off, and you got one TV channel. It's the old Westerns. I do like them, but I leave that off too, and it's just me and Jesus.
Yes.
Or it's me and Jesus and the beautiful blonde, and she cooperates with that. And you know what? I take a long shower in the Word. The washing of the water of the Word.
Yes.
Mm. I need it. You need it. We all need it. But whenever the Holy Spirit whispers to you, then take time, stop, make time, take a time out, make a date with Jesus, and saturate yourself in the Word. We are His sheep, and He's chasing us down for unfailing love and goodness. We, as His sheep of His pasture, are greatly blessed. Would you just say that? I'm greatly blessed.
I'm greatly blessed.
I want to tell you what I'm looking at. I'm looking at people that Jesus paid a high price to give you His unlimited favor.
Yeah. Amen.
It's called grace. Hey, you are people of unlimited favor. Would you just confess that?
Yes.
I'm a person of unlimited favor.
Yes.
I'm a person of unlimited favor.
Not by my goodness.
Yeah. Not by my goodness.
But by His goodness.
But by His goodness.
Amen. Is that great? I want to tell you, there's no one here that's more loved by Jesus than anyone else.
Amen.
Boy, if you catch that, it'll be an encouragement to you. Can I just make an announcement? Jesus loves you just as much as He loved the Apostle Paul.
Amen.
He loved you just as much as He loved the Apostle John. And John is testified that he received the love of God.
Yeah.
He received the love of Jesus.
Amen.
But he doesn't love John any more than He loves you. He loves you the same. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that Jesus loves us with the same love that Father loved Him with. Wow.
Amen.
Would you say I'm deeply loved?
I'm deeply loved.
Well, it's the absolute truth. You are beloved. And so we need to become convinced of it.
Yes.
And we need to have confidence in God.
Yes.
See, that's not on God. That's on us. Okay, but that comes when we focus on the shepherd and we walk close to the shepherd and we drink of the water of the Word and we eat of the green pastures that He makes us lie down and receive in His divine rest. And so we know it, we believe it, we speak it, we live like it.
Yes.
You know what that's it? That's a testimony of a disciple.
Yes.
So we put our hope in the Lord. Our expectation of God's goodness and unfailing love is coming your way every day in every way. I love to say this. I've been saying it during the series. It comes from my childhood when Oral Roberts would look through that one channel in East Texas that we would get, and he'd point his finger, and he would point it right at me, and he'd say, something good is going to happen to you.
Amen.
Now, I want to tell you why that's true. Because of Jesus, who He is. He's your shepherd.
That's right.
Now, are you expecting? That's what hope is.
Mm-hmm.
Are you expecting His goodness and unfailing love to chase you down today? Well, I want to tell you, that's what we look for. And not just that, because remember, the cycle of love in the kingdom, it's not just for you, it's for others.
Yes.
And so what I'm saying to you is, not only is God something good going to happen to you today because of Jesus and His love for you, but listen at this, it's for others. You are a blessing going somewhere to happen. Man, if you catch that, it makes adventure for your life. You're a blessing going somewhere to happen. Okay? I appreciate you listening so fast because we got through my introduction. Now we're ready for sermon. No, really and truly, this is a part of my life message. Because I had to live this in order to survive and then thrive. And so what's neat about the principles of God, he's no respecter of persons.
Amen.
What he's done for others, he'll do for you.
Thank you, Lord.
And so this is why this is so exciting to me, and I could literally preach on this the rest of my life. We've only got, I think, two more sermons, and it will be done, but I could preach on it the rest of my life. I'm so convinced that the Lord, his promises, and the work of the Holy Spirit will cause this to be true and evident in anyone who deems it so in their life.
Amen.
And it's because of Jesus. It's because of his heart and his plans for you. This can be your best year ever. Now look, I've had over 4 decades of ministry, and that doesn't make me an expert in anything. Okay, as a matter of fact, I usually confess, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. And usually there's a big amen. I guess I've worn you out on it today. I told a pastor that's in another part of the country this week because he was confessing to me. He said, you know, I don't feel very qualified. I don't have much gifting. And I'm just not as good. I said, whoa, wait, stop. I said, this makes it easy for you to depend on the Lord.
Yes.
And I told him, I said, it's easy for me to depend on the Lord because I don't have the gifting of language and charisma, and I don't have the gifting of skills. I can't sing and preach. Okay, there's a lot of things. And plus, I'm 100 pounds overweight. I want to tell you something. I don't even have the look. But this makes it easy. I hope you're listening to me.
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
This makes it easy for me to humble myself before God and depend on God.
Yes.
Because I know it ain't he.
Amen.
But it's in him.
Amen.
And he's in me.
Amen.
And I told him, I said, me and you have an advantage. This is what I told him. I think the beautiful blonde was listening. I said, you and I have an advantage. Because these other guys have got to get all the way past their brains.
Yeah.
All the way through all their diplomas that say they're something special.
Yes.
And they got to get through all their gifting and all their talent and all the hoorahs and applause that other people have to get to God. I said, when it comes to me and you, you know what it is? We just depend on God. We know that's our only choice, and it's a great choice. Because that way, Jesus gets the honor and glory. And I told him what I've repeated to you, that when you see me fumble the ball, you just smile and forgive me and say, that was Papa T right there. When you see a touchdown made, you just smile and say, that was Jesus right there. Are you with me? I want to tell you, there's a great reality in that. And I'm not saying it flippantly.
Amen.
But after 4 decades of ministry, what I'm telling you is this, is that I could, and I don't, sometimes I may even change a location if a testimony is real prevalent, because I don't want to expose anybody.
Yeah.
But I want to use examples, like Scripture uses examples, in order to help us as pictures for our life to depend on God.
That's true.
And so, but after 4 decades of ministry, about 45 years, I could give names and examples of people, listen to me, who had the same problems, stay with me, had the same sickness, same financial problem, same relationship problems, same addictions, same emotional sicknesses.
Yeah.
I know there's kinder names for that. But I'm just saying to you. Same emotional sicknesses.
Yeah.
And some walked in greater freedom to a better life.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
And some continued in bondage to the worse.
Yeah.
Yes.
Amen. I'm saying to you. Mm-hmm. We have a part.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Those that walk in greater freedom have some things in common. You want to hear those?
Yes.
I've got just a few minutes. And these are principles. These are spiritual exercises. And I've got to convince you of something first. That a spiritual exercise, because this is the way that religion thinks. Spiritual exercise is not to earn something from God. It's not to deserve something from God. What a spiritual exercise for is to tune our heart into his channel. There's all kinds of voices in this air right now.
That's true.
And you know what? If we have the right receiver, which you do when you receive Christ,
Amen.
You can tune in to different channels and different voices. You understand? And music. You understand?
Yeah.
And so what a spiritual exercise does is to tune our heart or position our heart to receive, listen to this, what he's already paid for.
Amen.
Okay?
Yes.
Hope and faith is a part of that. But don't let spiritual exercise be a mechanical step, because humans have a tendency to do that.
Okay.
Just give me one of those big books that shows all the steps, and I'll just do the steps. Okay, I want to tell you, you can do all the steps and miss God.
Yeah.
It's just like you can be in the Bible and get information, head knowledge about the Bible and miss the author.
Yeah, right.
You see, Christianity is not based on head knowledge. It's based on revelation knowledge.
Amen.
And so there's a big difference.
Yes.
Our part is to see Jesus in the Word.
Right.
And so it's very, very important. Let me tell you what a spiritual exercise is about. You make it an expression of love to him. Wow, that sounds too simple for you? You want something big, right? Fireworks? Drum rolls? Hey, spiritual exercises, if you make them an expression of love to him, where you're seeking him, loving on him, then I want to tell you, that causes your heart to tune in.
Amen.
And receive what he's already paid for. All
right,
well...
Amen.
They sought the Lord wholeheartedly.
Yes.
They developed a love life with Jesus. They fell in love with Jesus.
Yes.
All right? It's one thing for a person to say, well, I love the Lord. It's a different thing for a person to walk in love life with Jesus.
Yes.
They were a people of praise and thanksgiving.
Yep.
This was seeking the Lord. This was loving on the Lord, praise and thanksgiving. They went overboard.
Amen.
With praise and thanksgiving. They didn't focus on the problem. They weren't negative. They focused on the promise, and they were positive because they were consumed with the goodness of God. Does this sound like the blessed man?
Yeah,
it ought to. I've done series on these, on all of them.
Amen.
The ones that you say, well, I don't know this series, there's probably one coming this year.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because this is what I preach. This is life.
Amen.
And so prayer, and prayer is not begging God to do something.
Yes. Amen.
That's not prayer. Man, I did a series on this too. That's not prayer. Okay? Prayer, and I've shared with you, 90% of it ought to be just your love life exchange with the Lord.
Yes.
Is there a place for asking? Yes, there is. And he addresses that. But I want to tell you, when 90% of your prayer life is love life with the Lord, those things are easy.
Amen. Amen.
They flow into that answer.
Yep.
Because you're loving on the answer, Jesus.
Yes.
And the other part of prayer is taking authority against the powers of darkness. And I want to tell you, boy, Jesus didn't pray long prayers about that. When your love life is with the Lord, and then you see a shadow of darkness on somebody or coming against your life, this is the way Jesus prayed. Stop. Quit. Get out. Go away.
Very simple.
Well, those were long prayers.
Amen.
The other thing was, is that they learned to practice his presence. And when the revelation comes that you can enjoy the active manifested presence of the Lord in your life as a way of life, it changes the way you view God and view yourself and everything else.
Amen.
This is a way of seeking God. Number two is this, they saturated themselves with the words of Jesus. With Christ-centered messages, repeatedly.
Yeah.
We've got testimonies from people that are here and not here, that they would take the messages Christ-centered, not preacher-centered.
Come on.
Christ-centered messages that point to the cross, the hope of Christ, the Word of God, full of the Word of God. And they would listen to them over and over and over again until they catch it.
Yeah.
Now see, this is the difference, because people will listen to a Christ-centered message and say amen, because the Holy Spirit in their spirit is saying true, true, true for you.
Amen.
And they'll say amen. But I want to tell you, you've got faith cometh by hearing.
Yeah.
And you've got to practice focusing on it, meditating on it, until you catch it with your name on it. Until you make it you. Are you listening?
Yes, yes, Lord, yes.
There's probably better words for that. I'm just trying to explain. But, you know, I have people that tell me, you know, Papa T, you're best the third time around. Now that blesses me. I know what they're saying.
Yeah.
They listen to it three times. About the third time through, I'm a whole lot clearer about it. They start catching it.
Yes.
I tell them, you know, you need to know these principles so well that you can preach them better than I can. And there's other pastors out there that do. I just tell them, let me know what you preached last when I come preach for you. That's happened. But this is so important. And listen, to confess the words of Jesus. Man, we're big on that. The power of confessing his words. I want to tell you, your own soul needs to hear you say what Jesus says about you. Going back to what I said earlier, you know, you need to convince your soul that you're aligning yourself up with truth and you're going to stick by it.
Yes. There you go.
And after a while, your soul will say, you know what, this guy means business.
Yeah.
And I want to tell you, the Bible is so clear. It changes your thinking. Because you look in the Word and see how you really are in Christ, and you start saying and aligning yourself up with what Christ says about you, it's transforming. As a man or a woman or a teenager thinks in their heart, that's the way they really are.
Amen.
I've had parents tell me, well, my teen don't, they don't know what they're talking. They really. No. Let me tell you something. If your teen believes in their heart, this is where they are, that's where they are.
Amen. Yeah.
If an adult tells you,
yeah.
You say, well, I really know them. And that. No. As a man thinks in his heart,
so is he.
So is he. Thank you for agreeing. Helps me preach faster. They consistently meditated on the promises of God. I'm going to do a series, probably about 2 sermons worth. It'll be one of the shortest sermons. You'll love it.
What?
You'll be giving thanks, but it's on how to meditate on the Word of God.
Amen.
Because we've taken sexual addicts. At one time in my counseling, I had 3 at one time. I asked the Lord, what are we doing here? You know, this is not. But I want to tell you, he wants addicts to be free.
Yes, he does.
He prayed. He paid the price for prisoners to get set free.
Yes, he does.
And I want to tell you, I took these guys and taught them the same thing. How to meditate on Jesus on the cross. How to meditate on what Jesus has done to set them free. And, you know, when those images and those patterns would come to their mind, and they would change channels and begin to meditate on who they are in Christ and what Christ has done for him, the power of the cross, I want to tell you, they got free.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
All you have to do is say, well, that's just Jesus.
Amen.
But it's the power of meditating on the Word. And real simply, it goes like this, what he says, WHS plus WHD, what he does, equals W-H-I, who he is.
Amen.
What he says plus what he does equals who he is. Now what's beautiful about that, because we've taught teens this for decades, is that it goes like this. When you're in the Word of God, see Jesus.
Yes.
That's the most important thing. Not the size of Daniel's shoes, but let you see about Daniel's God.
Amen.
Because we find ourselves in the lion's den, don't we?
Yes, we do.
But I want to tell you, you focus on Daniel's God, because Daniel's God the same today for you that he was then.
Yes,
he rescued Daniel. He's your rescue today. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And when you're focusing and meditating and seeing what Jesus says, and then you go through and meditate on what he does, I want to tell you, what he says and what he does comes out of his nature. It reveals who he is. And what's neat is that you don't need Papa T there or some pastor. The Holy Spirit comes alongside, and he's a revelator. He reveals Jesus to you out of the Word. And when you see Jesus, you're transformed.
Yes, yes.
We're transformed to glory by seeing him. Remember, what we behold is what we become.
Yeah.
Boy, that's good.
That's very good.
I'm saying amen to my own preaching here.
Amen.
But you practice listening and journaling. I want to tell you, the beautiful blonde will tell you, I've got yellow tablets full. Because, man, I write it down. My quiet time, see? I'm telling you, I'm writing it down. Boy, if I hear a Christ-centered message in the Holy Spirit, I'm writing it down.
Amen.
And I want to tell you, out of those quiet times is what ends up coming sermons for me.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You see what I'm saying? That's the way that seed comes like that.
Yeah.
And so I'm telling you, it's very, very exciting. But you practice listening and journaling. I love the beautiful blonde. She fills up journals with insight. I love that.
Amen.
Okay? I don't ask to read them, but I sure want to. And I'm telling you, it's beautiful because I hear her share.
Amen.
Okay? And I'm just going to say this to you. It's amazing the quiet time that I have on a Monday morning and the fresh bread the Lord gives me on a Monday morning. I want to tell you, it's amazing the opportunities I get to share that fresh bread all day long.
Yep.
It's like He chooses people that have problems with that bread is the answer.
Amen.
I'm so amazed. I'm so excited about it.
Yep.
Wow. Confess the word.
Yep.
We need to say what God says.
Yes.
One of the reasons why we don't make progress, while I'm out of town, and I got more to share. That doesn't shock anybody here, but
amen.
I got more to share, but let me just finish it like this. One of the reasons why that believers are stuck, okay, and I want to rush to say this, that there really is no neutral.
Amen.
In your spiritual journey. See, a lot of times the fire's out. We're so glad the fire's out. And we're just going to park right here because we can survive right here and we can make it right here. We'll just stay right here. You don't stay right there.
Amen. That's right.
You're not even aware of it. But what you think is neutral is losing ground.
Yeah.
And you'll wake up one day and say, how did I get here? Mm-hmm. You're either gaining ground or losing ground. There's no neutral.
Yeah.
But a lot of times the reason that believers hit a stump in the road and they circle a mountain over and over and over again and never get through it is because of what they confess. I'm telling you, you ask God the healer to heal you with one tongue, and then with the same tongue, you get on the phone or on the book of face and tell everybody how sick you are.
Yes.
Mercy. Come on. Come on.
I'm telling you, our words are powerful. When you say what God says about you, it releases the supernatural.
Yes.
When you say what the enemy says about you, it releases the supernatural.
Yes.
To the dark side. I'll never forget. I got to tell you a story, and I'm finished. But I met with a little woman years ago, and she had problems. But I want to tell you, God got on that, and there was a lot of power in the meeting, and some sweet deliverance, some sweet victory. And she walks right out of the office and tells my assistant what all Jesus set her free from. And man, she was just beaming. She was glowing, you know, just the touch of the Lord on her. And then before she got out of that office, her cell phone went off. And she gets on the phone and somebody is saying, how you doing? And then they talk to me, oh, I'm hurting real bad today. This has been a horrible week. And I just don't know if I can make it. And oh, you know, this and this and this and this and this. And I did this, and she said, what? I said, you just canceled everything we gained in there.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell the truth.
I'm telling you, there's power in your words.
Yes, there is.
And the last thing, and I'll try to kick off with this somehow next week, is to be a channel of blessing. Where you take the works and the words and the presence of God that He's ministering in your life, and you minister and invest the goodness of God in others.
Yes.
Now, I want to tell you, when you sow that, guess what you receive?
Amen.
Yes.
Thank you very much. We reap what we sow.
That's right.
And there's just so far that mercy can go. It's just so far that compassion to go. And I'm not saying against those. I'm just saying the greater value is the Word of God.
Yes.
And so you got to invest the Word of God, because it's the Word and the works of God that has the transforming power.
Yes.
Mercy and compassion just to set the stage for them to receive.
Amen.
Don't leave them there.
Yeah.
By all means, invest.
Yes.
Be a giver, not a taker. Okay, that's all I got time for.
Amen.
And I love you so much. There's so much more I want to invest in you and share with you. I'm so excited about this. But I want this for you. The kingdom of God is for you. Jesus paid the price for you. Don't dare think that you're disqualified, because Jesus qualified you to receive.
Amen.
Okay? There's nothing you've done or no problem that you have that's too big, too mighty, too overwhelming for Him.
Amen.
He has come to set us free.
Yes, amen.
He's come to heal the brokenhearted.
Yes.
Okay? And He loves to do this with you. He paid the price for it. It's already paid for. Well, I'm so excited for you. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you so much for the precious ones. And we thank you, Lord, that you're opening up the eyes and the ears of the heart. And Lord, you're helping us to see you. You're our Savior. You're our Shepherd. And Lord, we choose today to turn our heart towards you and respond to you. We recognize you. We receive you. We respond to you in faith by saying yes to what you want for our life. Lord, we just renounce every word, curse, and spell has been placed against these lives. And we declare in Jesus' name the freedom and the liberty that the cross paid for.
Amen.
And we just confess in Jesus' name that the power of the Holy Spirit making himself known in our life in a personal way. And all the people said,
Amen.
Amen. We'll see you next week. I'm excited to share next week with you.